Today we celebrate our annual Flower Communion ritual, which was created by the Unitarian Church in Prague 91 years ago. But first, for a few minutes, I want to tell you about my visit to our partner Unitarian Church in Eastern... Hey, there it is, in Eastern Europe, the Prague Unitarian Church. On May 25th, I was in the village of Koren in Romania, where I was honored to participate in the installation of a clergy couple to serve as ministers of the Unitarian Church in Koren. For the first time in Transylvania Unitarian history, a clergy couple was officially installed to serve one congregation, the Koren Unitarian Church. Following the retirement of the previous minister who served the congregation for 25 years, Reverend Levente Lazar and Reverend Erica Dementer came to the Unitarian Church in Koren. I should explain to those of you who are new to Unitarian Universalism that Transylvania is a real place. On this map, it's the green area here in Europe, the dark green part of the map, a land located between Hungary and Romania, and directly north is the Ukraine. Today, Transylvania is politically part of Romania. Now, here's a closer look. The word Transylvania means beyond the forest. The forests are the Carpathian Mountains that form a kind of L there, you see, on the east and on the south. The Carpathians contain Europe's largest unfragmented forest area. The mountain provides the habitat for the largest European population of brown bears and wolves. In the foothills, they also have many thermal and mineral waters. Our partner church is in the foothills of the Carpathians. In this beautiful land of hills and valleys, deep green in the spring and in the summer, Unitarianism began as an organized religion. In 1557, Isabella Sigmundson was queen. The Protestant Reformation was in full swing in Europe. Although in most countries the king or the queen sided with the Catholics or the Protestants in this religious controversy, Queen Isabella took another approach. She came up with a measure designed to promote peace between Catholics and non-Catholics. In 1557, Isabella decreed that everyone might hold the faith of their choice, together with the new rites or the former ones, without offense to any, and the adherents of the new religion should do nothing to injure those of the old. And 2 years later, Isabella died, and her son, John Sigmundson, became king. He has this odd choice of hats, but who knows what was in fashion then. King John reaffirmed his mother's decree. The policy of Queen Isabella, affirmed by her son King John, encouraged an open discussion and broad toleration of different religious viewpoints. They made Transylvania the freest country in Europe. This religious freedom allowed a Transylvania minister named Francis David to rise to prominence. The son of a shoemaker, David, was born in 1520. He studied for the Roman Catholic priesthood, but his teachers gave him a liberal education, and this led to a strong interest in religious humanism. In 1545, David traveled to Martin Luther's town of Wittenberg, Germany, to study Luther's Reformation. After returning to Transylvania, David served as a teacher, a cleric, and a leader of the Transylvania Reformation. In 1568, Francis David argued that the Trinity, the division of God into three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, did not make any sense rationally or logically. He argued that Jesus was a human being. Jesus was human and not God. And out of this theology was born our name, Unitarian, as opposed to Trinitarian. After the 1568 debate, The Unitarian King again renewed his mother's decree of toleration. He declared that in every place the preachers will preach and explain the gospel, each according to his understanding of it. And if the congregation like it, well. If not, no one will compel them, but they will keep the preachers whose doctrines they approve. Therefore, none of the superintendents or others will annoy or abuse the preachers because of their religion, or allow any to be imprisoned or be punished by removal from his post because of his teaching. For faith is a gift of God. In other words, the king affirmed a policy of free and tolerant discussion as the best means of reaching religious truth. Although we have evolved over the centuries, this is still the core of who we are right here in this building in Sarasota, Florida. Just as the priest did, just as Francis David did in Transylvania in 1568, in 2014, we use reason, logic, and the scientific method to test the truth of religious claims. And in the same way that the Unitarian King proclaimed toleration and religious freedom in Transylvania in 2014 in Sarasota, we are strong believers in treating each other with respect and tolerating each other's different points of view. Even though some of us know the other people are wrong, we treat them with respect. We tolerate their points of view. And we celebrate religious freedom. We are who we are today because of what happened in 1568 in Transylvania. Estimates of the number of Unitarians in Transylvania today range from 67,000 to 100,000. Whatever the number, it is the largest number of Unitarians anywhere in the world outside North America. There are 141 churches existing in Transylvania today, mostly in villages. After the fall of communism in December 1989, churches in North America started signing on as partner churches with congregations in Transylvania. Out of this came the Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council. In the past 25 years, many American Unitarian Universalists have traveled to Transylvania. American churches have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to partner churches, repairing churches, providing scholarships for students, aiding retired ministers. Visits of American Unitarian Universalists to partner churches have had an enormous symbolic value. The visits, when a minister comes or a member of a congregation comes to Transylvania, it says to the people in that village that they are not alone. Unitarians in America care about them. Therefore, after coming here to Sarasota to serve as your minister, I encourage this church to start such a partnership. In May, after a Sunday service, I headed for Europe. I arrived on a Friday at the Koleshvar Airport, flying on Romanian Airlines, their turboprop made in France. Reverend Levente Lazar greeted me. We headed out for the three-hour drive east to his village. Levente, his wife, and their two children had spent a year in Berkeley, California, at Star King School for the Ministry in 2010. And as a result, every member of the family speaks English. As we drove east through the farmlands of Transylvania, I asked Levente why he entered the ministry. He explained that his father was a Unitarian minister, and he is following in his father's footsteps. I asked, well, how did you meet your wife, Erica? Well, he reminded me that in Unitarians who live in Transylvania who are of Hungarian ethnic background send their children, when they reach high school age, to a private high school in one of the large cities, and the students there are bored there. So he left his village and got on the train to go to the high school. He said, when I got on the train, I found it was pretty crowded, but there were one section of seats that was empty, and I sat down there. I noticed that there was some luggage above me, but I was sitting there, and then this group of young high school females came along and started telling me that I was in their seat, and I had to get up and give it back to them. And we had an argument. I said, well, there's nobody here. Your name is not on the seat. They said, we claimed this seat, and then we went to the dining car, and now we're back, and we want our seats back. And he said, that's how I met my wife. Well, several years passed after this argument, and eventually they decided to get married, Levente and Erica. So that's the story of their relationship. I ask about what was it? Was there a cultural shock when he went from Transylvania to Berkeley, California with his family in 2010? And he said, oh, yes, it was quite a cultural shock. One of the practices of Star King School for the Ministry, which goes back many years because I experienced it also, is that the students are all given keys to the building so that you can come into the building and use the study areas in the library at any time, day or night, 24 hours a day. You have your own key. And he said, the first day I got there, they handed me a key. He said, they would never do this in a seminary in Transylvania. It was a strange experience. But then I asked Erica about the experience, and she said, well, what was really odd to me was when we enrolled our children in the Berkeley Public Schools, we had to fill out this really long series of questions about what our children were allergic to. Were they allergic to peanut butter? Were they allergic to this or to that or gluten and things like that? She said they would never do that in Transylvania. And she wondered why children in America were so sensitive to so many things. But they spent a year in America. The whole family learned English. Their daughter, who was 6 when they were in America, learned English without any accent and better than anybody else in the family. So she did a lot of translating for me while I visited. As we drove to Quran, this 3-hour drive, I asked about the situation in the Ukraine. I said, is this in any way affecting folks in Romania? And he said that 55 members of the 800-member congregation had received notices from the government that if there was a full-scale war, if Russia invaded the Ukraine, that they would be called up to build up the military in Romania to protect Romanian borders. So they are concerned about the possibility of war and about it reaching over into Romania. Of course, Romania is now a member of NATO, and so if NATO were to fight the Russians, Romanians would be involved. But then we reflected on the fact that it's 100 years this summer from the beginning of World War I, and hoped that people are smart enough not to get involved in yet another war. After 3 hours of driving, we reached the church in Quran, and I met Erica and their 2 children, the 15-year-old son and now 10-year-old daughter. The next morning, Levente showed me the church. The church is on a main road in the village. There, the village specializes in making pottery, and it's famous throughout Romania for pottery. And so there's one stand after another selling pottery right along the road until you arrive to the church, and there is the Unitarian Church there. It is a beautiful church built around 1450. They don't know the exact date. We walk inside, and the sanctuary seats about 300 people. Women and men sit separately. I'm always tempted when I do a sermon on Transylvania to divide the women and men in our congregation to see what kind of reaction I would get. Women sit on one side and men sit on the other. The children sit in the balcony, mostly, in this congregation. There's a wall that completely encloses the church, and the wall provides the villagers with protection from Ottoman invaders. Of course, it was built in 1450, so it represents the established security of the village at that time. There are these beautiful embroidered cloths like I'm wearing and you see on the cover of the Order of Service, decorating the entire church. So it's very pretty, very beautiful inside. I ask Erica, why did you decide to become a Unitarian minister? And in Transylvania, these are just Unitarians. They are not merged Unitarian and Universalist. And she said, she wouldn't give me an extensive answer for some reason, but she said, in one sentence, I wanted to do it because of the challenge. The challenge of being a woman minister among the Unitarians really appealed to me and got me excited. But then as we talked more, she told me that she was spending several days each month commuting from Koron, which is 12 hours drive to Budapest. She would drive with a group of other ministers to Budapest, and there she would spend several days studying psychology and counseling because she was deeply interested in pastoral care and the care of the people in the village. So that was part of her motivation also for becoming a Unitarian minister. The next morning, Sunday, May 25th, the installation service started at 2 p.m. so that the nearby ministers who had morning services could attend the afternoon installation. Church bells rang a few minutes before 2 p.m. We processed from the parsonage to the church, arriving just as the bells stopped ringing. So we here often begin our worship service with a countdown on the screen because we haven't yet built the bell tower that I've been asking for. But they have bells that ring that welcome people into the church. The building was filled. When it was my turn to speak, I spoke in English, and Levente and Erica's 15-year-old son, who had learned English when they were in America, translated into Hungarian. I said, I bring greetings from the Unitarians in the United States, and in particular, greetings from your new partner church congregation in Sarasota, Florida. We wish you well as you celebrate this new and exciting ministry. In America and in Transylvania, the secret is that history and our personal experience have taught us that to be strong, we must pull together. And then I told a story, an old folk story, about seven sons who were arguing among themselves. And the father asked the sons to go out into the woods and each of them to bring two sticks back to the house. And the son's father did what the father asked and came back to the house. So they had 14 sticks. And then the father said, sons, pick up one of the sticks, each of you, and now see if you can break it. And they each went like this, and the stick broke in half. And then the father said, give me the other seven sticks. And he picked them up, and he bundled them together, and he handed them to the strongest, oldest son, and he said, see if you can break us now, all together in a bundle. And the strongest son couldn't break it. And he said to his seven sons, you argue among yourselves, you fight, you compete, but if you are united as a family, if you are not united together as one group of people together loving each other, you are much stronger. As long as you are separate in different ways and fighting among yourselves, you will be as weak as the one stick, but united, you will be powerful. You will be strong. That's the story I told at the installation and said, that is why we have partner church relationships with our friends in Transylvania, so that we will be united and strong together rather than weak separately. I said, we are happy to have fellow Unitarians in Transylvania. I hope our friendship lasts many years and that this new ministry and that this new church, this church will thrive and prosper. After the service, we ate a big meal in the community center. They served us a form of chicken, a form of pork, and one vegetable, and a lot of offerings of water, beer, wine, and something called polenka. Polenka is a little bit like drinking vodka. It is distilled from the fermented juices of various fruits. They make it with whatever fruit they happen to have, whether it's apples or plums or whatever. And they all have their own stills in their homes where they make this. It's homemade, very, very strong. And you discover if you're visiting Transylvania, you don't drink it all down because they'll refill it. It burns as it goes down. You just take a little sip and then just set it aside, and then you're safe. You won't keep getting it refilled over and over again. After a few drinks, one of the visiting ministers told me a story, which leads to the title of my sermon this morning. He said, and you notice on the back of the order of service, the beginning of the Hungarian Unitarian Catechism. All the children who are Unitarians in Transylvania are expected to memorize this. What is religion? Religion is love towards God and towards our neighbors, all neighbors, and so on down the list. There's 136 questions. The children are supposed to memorize the answers to all of them. Not exactly, but being able to answer them reasonably. And then the minister gives them a test, and if they pass the test, they are essentially confirmed as Unitarians, as young adults. But there was this one child who probably had a learning disability of some kind, according to the story. And he worked really hard to memorize these, but just did not have good enough memory to really be able to answer any of the questions correctly. The minister did not want to fail the child, because the child was not doing this out of spite or meanness, but just simply couldn't remember. And so he thought, I'll ask the child a question that he can't possibly get wrong. And I said to the boy, if you answer this one question, then I'll pass you and we'll be done. On what day of the week is Good Friday? And the boy said, Monday? And the minister said, close enough, you pass. That's Unitarian Hungarian humor after you've had a few things to drink. The deeper feelings I experienced on the journey are not easily expressed. My trip to the birthplace of Unitarianism was a religious pilgrimage. Inspired by seeing the roots of our faith, I renewed my emotional connection with our religion. We are part of a tradition that is equal to any other in religion, any other religion, in intellectual depth, in spiritual understanding, and courageous history. Feeling more deeply our religious roots, I am more proud than ever to serve as a Unitarian Universalist minister, and I hope you feel the same pride as members of this great congregation here in Sarasota.